morning, everyone. Welcome to another segment of Market Overdrive. I am Carla Mina, residential real estate broker with Coa Banker, and I'm super psyched. I think this show is specially for me. I just want to own it.
Whatever that means, we're going to roll with it. Are you done with your intro? Is that the intro?
I said I'm going to own it.
Okay, that is the intro.
That was so
Thank improv. You for joining us. You're listening to Market Overdrive. Let's introduce our guests instead of making it all about ourselves. Carla likes to make it all about ourselves. I won't make it all about myself. So I'll start with our every other week guest from iLoan, Graco Funes.
Hi, Mr. Funes.
How you doing?
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Graco. How are you doing?
Are we done loving each other now?
We're not done. We got to share the love.
Let's get to our guests.
Listen, this show is for all the ladies. All the ladies. Is that a song? Anyway, this is for all the ladies. It's empowering. It's mommy day today. It's about the girls. Why? Because my kids are in the studio. It's report card pickup day. And it's about the boys. What's happening? Oh, something said there's technical issues.
How are you trying to block
You're doing something over there, and it's kind of scary. But let me go back to my little moment of my soliloquy. It's about the moms. It's about the women. Everybody who thinks they can't, today we have someone that's very, very inspiring in the studio. I want to give a shout out to my friend Graco, who's always out there seeking out the best and talent in the real estate industry, because we are very passionate at Market Overdrive to elevate your real estate IQ. And in particular, when he called me to tell me about this story, I was so impressed. I was so excited. He's like, Car, you're going to love this. This is so exciting. This is right up your alley. And it truly is, because I love inspiring women. I love inspiring everybody, but I think women, we just need a little extra push and somebody to tell us that we can do it. So, having said that, go ahead and introduce our guest.
You've already gone this far. You have to introduce the guest.
Oh my God! So, Margaret, thank you so much for being part of the Mod Squad this morning. And Margaret is the author of this book called Own It, and that's why I was being silly about I'm going to own the show. Thank you, Margaret, so much. And since you're here with the guest, why don't you introduce your guest?
Thank you, Carla. We're really excited to be here. I'm here with Nate Lindquist, who happens to be my husband
and
partner.
What a coincidence.
There's a lot.
So we're really excited to be here. We're so passionate about helping women. We have a goal this year of helping 1 million women to rise up and own it. And we teach that through investing in real estate.
That's the mission today, for women to rise up and own it. And what does that mean to you? And what does that mean to our audience, Margaret? Let's just get right into it.
Yeah, it really means, regardless of your circumstances, that you can have the life that you dream of. You can live the life of your dreams. And it doesn't matter where you came from. You know, for me, I was an 18-year-old single mom. And I was able to overcome a lot of challenges throughout my life to be able to start investing in real estate. I had no money when I started. But there's always a way. I think what you said about moms. Moms are so – it's like mama bear comes out, and we will do whatever it takes to take care of our family. So that's really – for me, that was the background of how I got into this. And when I saw all of these women, these friends of mine, it kind of started with coffee conversations about, I hate my job. I hate that by the time I get home, my kids, I barely see them and I put them to bed and then we start over. And then the weekends I spend cleaning. And it was hard for me to try to relate to them because it wasn't my life anymore. But I had such a passion for teaching them how to get out of that life and to be able to really take ownership of it, to rise up and own it.
I love it. And, we take it for granted, how much we do when you have children, right? Yeah. And I think women, we carry that guilt always, whether you're, a single mom or not a single mom. But we always carry that guilt. If you're a working mom, am I not spending enough time with my children? Or am I dragging, realtor? There's a lot of realtor moms out there. I want to do a shout out to Carmen Carmonara, Mimi Luna, all of you, Maribel Marone. Everybody who's out there. Katie, you're out there with your kids. I mean, my kids know what to do when it comes to setting up a lockbox. They know what it's like to go pick up checks for closings, or mommy's doing a showing, just be quiet. As a matter of fact, they're in the studio right now being really good and quiet because, again, it's report card pickup and they're coming here with us. But we get to show them, right, who we are, and they're living by example, learning by example per se. So I want to thank you for coming in here and sharing your stories. How many kids do you have?
We have a lot of them.
What?
We have 6 kids between
us. Brady Bunch.
Do you guys not have a TV or something?
We don't. Have a television.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
So, guys, if you want a little more action, get rid of
They took
TV.
Netflix and chill and got rid of the Netflix.
You leave it to That's Nick awesome. To take it there. But Bye. Don't you just love it? I mean, a lot of women, like single girls, come on. If we as moms can make time to, you know, to build wealth and do something that's going to make us feel passionate about something, waking up, it doesn't feel like work to us. Right. If we can do it and we have limited time because we have to drive the kids to school, we have to take them to baseball or hockey, what have you. Single girls, you have no excuse to not own it. Seriously.
Yeah.
Right? Husband, you're very quiet.
You know what?
That's not true.
What is it like to work with the powerhouse?
Oh, you know what? My wife inspires me. Margaret's amazing. You know, when, you know, we started looking at this idea of the business that I, you know, that I've done over my life and the business, what she's done with flipping over her life. And I started looking at this sort of really excuse-free lifestyle that she was living, and this what would I love kind of lifestyle.
Excuse-free, I love that.
Yeah, so it's, you know, that's like a really important thing for me. It's like hunt down excuses and get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so inspired by, you know, seeing Margaret, you know, really look at, you know, any limitation that you might hear in a normal conversation and turn it into, you know, a what would you love?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense, I think, if you want to have a life you love, to spend time focused on excuses. So it's super inspiring. You know, the short answer is we're a great team. I'm really proud to be able to partner with her instead of sort of having our ships passing in the night,
mm-hmm.
to team up, bring our coaching and our mentoring together to be able to be the CEO of the company.
Nice.
And to really be able to take the business and take all this insight and work that she's done in building her, you know, flipping business and building out her portfolio for real estate, and to be able to take the best of what she's learned, the humility of making mistakes.
Lots of mistakes,
to share our lessons and our mistakes in life.
Right.
I mean, we could talk all week, all month about that. And to be able to really keep our feet on the ground,
mm-hmm.
It's exciting because I think it makes what she's been doing
very
relatable, very attainable.
Yeah.
And that's really all we want. We get up every morning. We don't say, what can we get?
You know,
we say, how can we serve? How can we help and inspire women to rise up and own it? So it's awesome. It's awesome having a partner.
I love it. They always say right behind every great man, there's a great woman. I love the role change here. Behind a great woman, there's a great man. And you always, like women, we try to be so strong because we always feel like we have to prove ourselves. But I love it, right, that you're inspiring, you're there to support your wife, and it's a team effort. Grocco and I met you guys at an event, and it was an investment event. Grocco, what caught your attention about them as to why you invited them here?
So first of all, I was, you know, pretty shocked the amount of people that would come up to us after we spoke. You know, we do real estate. I write loans, so I don't, you know.
And when he says we spoke, we were on a panel.
Yeah, we were on
talking
a panel
about flipping or
right.
just investing.
And I gave a little insight in reference to the loan side and what I saw when I was flipping my properties during the recession. But what I thought was super cool about you guys. You guys were there with the stroller.
Yes. Okay.
Six of them.
And you guys came up to us and you introduced yourself. And Nate started telling me a little bit about the concept and what you guys were doing. And the minute that I heard women, you know, I light up because...
Oh, wow.
He lit up.
Good to know, Grocco.
No, it's not
like
that.
Not like that. You guys know that, you know, I have a little girl and
yes.
anytime I can have my little girl in the presence of strong women. And I always talk about Nick's mom too, because, you know, these are women that are pillars in our institution or our industry, I should say. And little kids pick up on that, you know, so to be, you know, side by side, you guys, or, you know, I appreciate you guys coming in today and, you know, giving your take and hopefully we can partner up and this could be a long term relationship where we can help empower, you know, a bunch, if not millions, as you said, of women throughout the United States, but how about worldwide too? Because are there flipping properties worldwide?
They're even flipping them on Mars, bro. Don't right? worry about it. You know? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
no. What I was just going to say is that moment when you guys came up and, you know, we shook hands, we exchanged cards, I emailed you the following morning immediately.
Yeah.
And I have this thing about when I meet somebody at an event, it's very important that you follow up immediately. And I always sometimes go to these events and I, you know, maybe give a business card and I never hear from people again. But I made it a point to stay in contact with you guys, and I'm, you know, I'm happy that you guys are here.
Yeah, it's all about networking and building, you know, a network for each other. And of course, here at Market Overdrive, again and again, we're here to elevate your real estate IQ. And I know I keep pointing at the book, right? But you talked about inspiring people. Let us know about your event that you're hosting that's coming up.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I'll go. Sure.
Nate knows all the details.
So we had this idea about, you know, what's the best way to get in front of. Our goal in 2017 is to empower 1 million women.
Okay.
And, you know, the thought process that we have here is that whether we work with them, whether we do business with them, whether they become part of our peer group, whether they're part of our family, one of our two daughters, you know, we're looking to create, you know, the actions, the actual real world examples of. Mm-hmm. The energy, the intention, and the message of rising up and owning it. And that comes through, you know, the way that we live. And we thought, well, what's a better way, or is there even a better way than having an event like Flip Chick Unleashed that we're doing April 29th and 30th down at the Hyatt Regency? You know, to do this event, what's a better way than to bring all the energy of all these empowered women, some of them are bringing their husbands or boyfriends or partners to this event, have all that energy in one room and really create an environment where everyone is making decisions about what their values are, what's most important in their life, and then they're in the energy of holding each other accountable in the face of their fears, their doubts, their worries, so when they step up and they decide what's important, they then take massive action. They know that their potential is unlimited. They know that when they see themselves that way, they're going to take incredible action. And to invest in real estate and to flip real estate really requires that you flip a part of your brain on that you haven't used before or at that level. You're making one of the biggest investments you'll ever make.
For sure. It's an art and a science.
And at some point, we have to get to the nuts and bolts of this. You guys flip houses.
Yeah.
We do.
That's what it is,
Tell
right?
us more about Flip
well,
Chick.
We need to get to that. I mean, because we've done a lot of, a lot of motivational, which is great, but
go ahead.
Can you pause?
Just go for it. I want to talk about Flip Chick.
Okay, so the day in the life of Flip Chicks.
Yeah.
What's like? You said you're the CEO, so are you on field or are you more... back end, finding properties, dealing with receivables, invoice, who owes you money, trades. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that a CEO would have to deal with in your particular situation.
He's usually cleaning up the messes that I make.
Oh, okay. So tell us the day in a life. Who's on site? Who's finding the properties? What's it like? If you're on site and negotiating with trades, do you feel that sometimes that is, let's get the elephant out of the room,
yeah,
that you're at a disadvantage because they'll think they could, like,
ooh, I love that
take
question.
Advantage of a female that probably has never done a flip before in her life?
That's a great question.
That's how men that have been around for 30 years might treat a female.
So the dynamic that goes on between myself and a lot of the different trades, and it does happen a lot that they think, oh, she must not know anything, so I can take advantage of her. Well, you know, I do know something.
Clearly.
And they learn very quickly that I know something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it often happens that they don't end up getting the job. But what I've had happen before is a new...
fire them.
Yeah, yeah.
See, oh, you've never seen anything like it.
I try not to make them cry, but it happens.
Nice.
But, you know, when you're working with a new contractor, they don't have a lot of respect for you. I can't tell you how many times we've been on a job site meeting with a contractor, and I'm the one who's hiring them. I'm the one who has all the plans, and they won't talk to me. They talk to Nate.
Well, right there, that's a problem.
And yeah, oh yeah.
And I defer to Margaret because here's the thing. My goal is to help systems process. I'm kind of the systems processes guy.
There you go. Okay.
And hold things to the path. I'm looking at, you know, timelines. I'm looking at checklists.
Right.
And I step back and I try to keep altitude, stay up above the projects. Margaret gets down in there and she gets stuff done. I mean, she is definitely a GSD. Get stuff done kind of a woman. And so
it.
What happens is there's this, I think, this big gap generally of either lack of appreciation for what she's done or known, and there's these huge assumptions about, oh, she's a woman, she's not going to be capable of getting this done or giving, you know, knowing what the details are. And we see estimates that are so far out of whack from contractors,
right.
It makes our job that much easier. And literally she can just boom, 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 ask a few questions, cherry pick, and women have a huge advantage in flipping real estate. It's really unbelievable.
Explain that.
Well, you're talking about intuition. So an awareness right away. Is this person listening to understand?
Right.
Or leading me down a path towards trying to sell me something?
Right.
You know, automatically a woman in general, you know, and I tell you, this has been a huge contrast for me in being in the business and working with Margaret. In general, men, I should say, are going to try to solve a problem, give you a punch list, tell you what they want. But through the process, a woman is going to ask questions, mm-hmm. have a conversation, listen for understanding, try to get an understanding where someone's coming from. And in that whole process, you find out very quickly the contractors who are more interested in making a sale than they are in building a relationship. And flipping real estate is far more about relationships than it is about swinging a hammer.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest advantages is that women naturally have this way of relating to people. And whether the contractor's a man or a woman, and frankly, they're mostly men that we're dealing with, there's a relationship that I think they don't get with most of the people that are flipping houses, because most of the people flipping houses are men right now. So it's a different dynamic. And I think that the men, you know, the contractors really appreciate working with a woman, you know.
I love that you guys are going back and forth between the, you know, a woman and what does a woman have versus what a man does, and intuition. Basically, those are the skills that you're looking for when you're doing a flip. And I want to inspire women. Obviously, you know, you have the intuition, right? These are God-given gifts that we have, innate gifts that we have. What are some of the skills that you see that is required in order to do a flip? For just anybody.
I think the first thing is having a vision. Okay. So when you walk into a space, and again, I think women innately have an ability to do that. They walk into a space and they can picture if this wall is missing and I break this out here. And here's when I'm sitting in the kitchen, you know, as a functioning kitchen, not just as a pretty space. This is what I would love to see. So those are the things that, you know, we look at a property and we see it as a home.
Love it.
And when you create a home, it's going to sell fast.
I love that. I love that message, really, because even for buyers, right, when we're looking and showing properties, they can't envision themselves in that property.
Right.
And we're always telling our clients, you know, make sure that you stage the property so that a buyer, a prospective buyer, can envision themselves in the property. But when you're looking at rehab, I mean, what is the worst property you've ever encountered? Describe that.
There's so many.
I know. Give us your worst case scenario. What to expect? I mean, is it a huge flip?
A lot of total gut rehabs.
Okay.
So it's the ones that they're covered in mold. There's floor joists that are either just completely gone or cracked, and you've got to completely build things from scratch. I've done a lot of historic homes. So those just have knob and tube all over. They've got burst pipes because they've typically been sitting, since we're in Chicago, sitting through a winter or two. So there's a lot of total gut rehab where it's, let's get it down to the studs and let's build it back up. And if you've got it down to the studs, now you can look at, hey, is this the actual floor plan that I would love? And mm-hmm. I try not to do anything more than is absolutely necessary. So we call it the minimum effective dose. So Nate has a great story of telling, you know, if you have a headache, you don't take 5 aspirins for a 2 aspirin headache. So same thing with flipping.
Really?
You don't knock down more.
Well, I learn something new every day.
So I love it.
Don't do more than what is justified with the profit
budget.
Margin that you're looking at.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep the numbers in mind.
Absolutely. Always bottom line. It's what's going to make the most profit.
I think I would add to that too, because it's really about, it's not just being a minimalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being minimalist, because you want to do what's essential.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding what's essential for a lot of people, a lot of women, especially
that's
women we're
talking
to. That's
good advice. If you guys are listening, like, focus on this, because a lot of people want to go in, they want to customize, and they spend so much money.
So, you know, there's this weakness, I think, that women have initially that turns into a strength.
Did he just say we have a weakness? We started so well.
Plenty of weaknesses.
Yeah.
He saved himself.
here's one of them. It's a weakness that becomes a strength. The weakness is
I love him.
Emotionally getting involved with the home. You know, there are a number of times where, now, Margaret does not have this problem. but initially, there's a tendency for people who are buying a home, either as couples and families, there's an influence of picturing their family playing in the yard and seeing what the possibility is. And when you start to see it as, do you want to, you know, live and work and pay for your house, or do you want your house to pay you?
Right.
And so when you do what's essential, you're able to walk into that property and you're able to make decisions. What's essential? You don't fall in love with the space. You don't fall in love with what the color's supposed to be. You don't fall in love with how you think you'd like to stage it. You're willing to break walls, move stuff around, even if it's just in your mind initially, and you're able to say, okay, what do I know about the market?
Right.
And do, you know, even if you're a realtor, here's another thing. A majority of the people we talk to are realtors who want to get involved with investing, and they're sick of being on the end of the deal that doesn't have the big win, right?
Yeah.
So there's the commission, but there's not the big check.
Right.
And what happens is there's this concept of, you know, I want to go in and I want to be the expert. Now, when I say do what's essential, it also means your role in the business.
Mm-hmm.
go, you know, don't get emotionally caught up with, this is my business, I'm going to do everything. And because I have a license as a realtor, I'm going to accidentally think that I should be giving myself my real estate advice. Mm-hmm. Get advice from someone. Let someone else who's your investor-friendly realtor go out into the market, share their expertise, so you can focus on the one thing, which is getting, like Margaret said, the vision of what's essential in the building that you've chosen or thinking about flipping.
Right. And then more importantly, right, I always say that on the show for whatever topic, it's know your market, know your comps, right? What is the after repair value of that neighborhood? And then be conservative with your numbers. Grocco knows that I always look at the more, like, you know, the worst case scenario versus the happy joy, like, wow, that's a bonus. Mm. I mean, it's a lot of work to flip a property, even whether you're a man or a woman doing a flip. I mean, Nick, how was your experience?
Oh, they suck at times. You know, the one thing I've learned about, and I've flipped quite a few homes, is it seems like there's always a surprise.
Always.
At least one, you always. Know. And you hope that the surprise is not massive. But there's always a surprise. And, you know, if you can get through one where it's a minor thing, then great. But it's always scary for me when I go into a city that I've never flipped in, even though we could do an analysis on what the after repairs value is and what the profit spread should be. And we know that we're... From a crew perspective, we know that we have our budgets in line. You just don't know what the city could throw at you. And so you try to dig into it, and, you know, there's an inspection curveball, and there's always some fun stuff that comes up. So at least in my experience, I don't flip as many homes as you guys do. It's not my full-time job, but I have flipped a few. And, yeah, there's always a nice little surprise waiting.
And it's always about that network, right? Because I know I'm always texting, hey, who do you got for cabinets? Who do you have for windows? Who do you have for this? Grocco's been doing it for a long time.
We had a great story about a recent flip.
What are you talking about?
About how you're bragging about how yours is going to come in a better margin than mine, but you called me for every trade.
Are you kidding me?
Every
that is not
item
even
that
she
true. Bought.
Where did
you get the cabinets?
Where
did you get the windows? Who did your drywall? Who did this?
Who hey,
did
Nick,
that?
Who did this?
And then she's like, I got better margins than you. Where did you get all your bidding from?
Excuse me, had
just
nothing to do
stop.
With the contractor.
Here's my question.
Here's
a question that I do have as well. It sounds like in the beginning we started talking about how certain trades come in and, you know, if they treat you differently from, let's say, a man because they think that, you know, you're a female, you might not know as much, when in reality you know more than most people flipping homes because you've done more. And experience is trump over all things, period. But it also, I didn't really hear, as far as some advice for the people that are listening, do you have like a go-to crew? Or are you doing properties so far and apart at times that you need to always find a new crew in certain areas? Or how does that work with you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have several go-to crews. So
stick with a certain drywaller, with a certain electrician and
absolutely.
Plumber.
And your point about working in different cities or different areas, different villages where there's a municipality that's going to have certain requirements for inspections. Or I like to stay in the same area. And I'm just, as you were telling that story, I was thinking about
all
one
flippers,
particular.
Yeah, all flippers have said that's the number one bit of advice. Stay where you feel comfortable, where
right.
you know the area. Blah,
there's
blah,
areas
blah.
That I would not go to because I have had a project that's cost me almost $10,000 more, and I absolutely believe it's because of the inspector. You know, they had their idea about how mm-hmm. things needed to go, and then there was some butting heads with the contractors, ultimately butting heads with me, mm-hmm. and they kind of threw
never
it in
happens.
Our face.
Yeah. Butting heads with inspectors?
No. Butting heads with her probably never happens either.
No.
Right? No.
So I think, again, back to the relationship side of things, my ideal world is I work with the same contractors over and over. There's times when we do deals outside of our area that I need to go out and find somebody new. And, you know, I maybe this is a girl thing too, but I feel like this is building a team, and I almost have this, you know, motherly obligation that I feel to keep
them
working.
People working.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to come.
That's not a girl thing. That's just a true
business
owner.
It's a girl thing.
That is not
we
a girl
are
thing. I have a team.
Passionate. You are beautiful.
No, that
you
is not.
Wise.
You're,
you
not
that's
your
a
opinion,
movie.
But that is not a girl thing. I have employees, and I'm always concerned about.
You're never
during,
compassionate towards
during,
me.
During down season, man, if we have a bad enough month, how are we going to do payrolls and right. this and that? It's always a concern. You always want to make sure that your staff and people working underneath you are in, you know.
Yeah, I work really hard to find a flip going into the winter so that my main guys have work
right.
throughout the season. Because a lot of them, they've got families. They've got kids to feed.
Right. And it's nice to also have something packaged up ready to go come spring.
Right.
Like
right.
February or March. Right. Where is the area you guys predominantly do most of your
in
stuff?
The far west suburbs, you know, between like Wheaton all the way to really to Rockford.
Okay.
And then we do some up in Wisconsin. We just actually finished one in New Hampshire.
And now,
a little off the...
one of the biggest questions that a lot of people that are interested in flipping is how do they find the houses? How do they find the properties?
Yeah, all different areas. We work with a lot of wholesalers that mm-hmm. will send us deals, but we would never sell a property, you know, off the market like that. We would work with a realtor always to sell it. I would say at least half the properties I've done came from a realtor. You know, so we work with a few realtors that know exactly what we're looking for. And in the beginning, it was like, oh, my gosh, you know, how am I going to find a deal? How am I going to find a deal? Now they know to send the deals to us. So and they know that if they find a good deal that we're going to buy it.
So you said earlier that you seem like you do a lot of gut rehabs. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've sent your realtor on a mission, the dirtier the better.
Absolutely.
You're not afraid to do those projects. A lot of people want to do lipstick surgery. They just want to, like, change carpet and paint and there's their flip, you know. And that's fine. There's profit in that. But the real money is in when you know what you're doing.
Right.
In the gut rehabs.
There's fewer people that are willing to do that. So there's less competition in getting the property. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I'm coaching somebody, they're like, oh, my gosh, this property is a disaster. There's no way I would want to do this. I'm like, send me the address, because if you don't want to do it, I'll do it.
Question for the project manager and the guy worrying about everything on the outside. What is your biggest fear? Or, well, number one, let's back that up. What's the most properties you guys have been working on at one time?
I think since I've, you know, we've been working on this together.
Even if you're not working them, they're still on the market for sale. Like total portfolio on hand.
Maybe
at
10.
10.
Like 7 to 10. Yeah.
That's a healthy number.
Margaret,
I would be suicidal at 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were there.
But I don't have Nate helping me out. So, you know.
So six to 10 properties that you're rehabbing at the same time, like ongoing.
So, yes. And I won't do that again. So I like to do 2 or 3 at the same time. And the problem that I had when I had – it was 7 that were actually in the process of rehab and then a few that were listed.
On the market. But you're holding 10 at one time.
Right.
And forgive me if I'm sorry to jump in, but, you know, when a good deal comes up, it's hard to really say no
to
a good deal because another one might not come up.
I help.
There's an adrenaline rush. Like, I just bought the
right
property.
Yeah.
So, Margaret, I was reading your bio, and you did your first flip at 18. Was it 21 or 18? I forget.
Sorry.
She bought
her first property 18?
Well, I bought my first house when I was 20.
Okay.
And then I bought a condo. I was so dabbling in it, and I didn't really understand other than, hey, it's a good idea to have a house. It's been about 12 years, mm-hmm. which – that means I'll tell you how old I am.
Hey, I don't care. You're beautiful.
So I really
started as a teenager.
Yeah, she started as a teenager.
I really got into the flipping when I was 30.
Okay.
So it was after, because my background is single mom who barely had anything. I was going to say something vulgar, but I won't say that.
You can.
Please go
you
ahead.
So, it's not on live. Like,
looking
it,
at Nick.
It's not on W.
Not, you know, like, just
you can
go
swear
there.
If you need to.
I really didn't have a pot to piss in. I didn't have anything.
There you go. I like that. Pot to piss in is the quote of the day.
So the story that I grew up with was go to school, get a good job, you know, get your education, get a good job, and then you work for corporate America. And so mm-hmm. I did that. You know, I put myself through school. Tortured myself. I was waitressing in the morning. I would do temp jobs, and then I would go to school at nighttime. And I had a baby, so it was harder than I did the corporate thing for a while. And then, you know, mergers and acquisitions and losing my job so many times. I finally said, you know, I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ended up becoming an entrepreneur for the first time, running martial arts businesses, which is a whole other, you know, life that I had for a while.
Oh, okay. So you can karate chop someone.
Yeah.
She's a black belt.
Roundhouse.
Oh, God. It gets
roundhousing. All right.
So, but then when you're an entrepreneur, and
right.
I think especially as a woman, you're putting so much into it that, you know, it was worse than working for somebody else because, you know, I was my boss and I was crazy now. So then that's when I got into the real estate. You know, how can I find something where I'm not so, you know, working as an entrepreneur, running my own business meant that if somebody didn't show up to teach, I was teaching. If somebody, you know, didn't show up to pay the bills still had to get paid and it was all on me. So it really went from that into I did one flip. I thought, you know, hey, this will be fun. And it was sort of a, you know, HGTV inspired.
Now, were you solo on that flip, or was Nate with you at the time?
No, Nate was not with me at the time.
No, she was single.
So that was all on your own.
Yeah, okay. Single mom.
Yeah, with my dad.
And how scared were you during that process?
I don't even think I knew enough to be scared. You know, I was so excited from watching these TV shows. I was like, yeah, let's.
Being
do
naive
it.
Is sometimes a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I drive
young
past.
And naive.
I drive past the house still of the first one that I didn't.
So lucky you came out alive.
Here's the things I didn't know.
Windows are still up.
Oh, well, I had the guy come. I was like, well, I don't have enough money to replace the roof, so I'll have him patch it. And I didn't know I needed to do something like specify specify that the shingles should match. So I drive past this house still, and it's a brown roof with black shingles where my patch job was.
And that was your flip.
That was my first flip.
I love it.
And I made like
$20,000. It's like a signature. That's all it is, just a signature.
But that's the key. You made $20,000.
It was crazy.
It's awesome, right? Yeah. So single mom. So, and you're working by yourself. This has nothing to do with what you built yourself up to be. I mean, you're running a martial arts school, and then you decide, I'm going to do a flip. I think everybody kind of has that moment. So for all you ladies who need that little push, right, building wealth is something that we all seek. But you have to have the drive and just like, you know, like just be a little bit like inquisitive. Like, what would it be like if I did that, right? Can I do it? And, of course, align yourself with people that are going to help you. You had your father.
Yeah. And I think also when you realize that if you stay on the path that you're on, for me, it was, okay, I'm running my own business. My other option was corporate America. Where am I going to be 10 years from now? Where am I going to be 20 years from now? I'm going to be in the same grind. And I saw the real estate investing as a way to – it was my retirement. You know, it was certainly the way I was going to pay for my kids to go to college.
Love it.
So, you know, I didn't see any other way for doing that, you know, without sacrificing my lifestyle.
I love that you had goals that were beyond yourself, right? Yeah. And I always keep telling people, like, the reason I do what I do every day, and it's so darn hard, and I love that everybody's getting their real estate license now because they think they can do it because we make it look so easy. Yeah. It is so darn hard, but we do it because we want to create wealth not just for our children, but for our children's children. And so I just want to motivate everybody to look into you as an example, a role model that someone can do it. I mean, you were facing so many hardships, and I think the biggest hardship that women face is just believing in themselves that they can do it. And I love the fact that you went ahead and just did it, right? And now you have Nate, who's very helpful. But, you know, there was a starting point for you where you did it. And I mean, this book, you know, Building Wealth, Girl's Guide to Building Wealth, is just the starting point, right? Yeah. So if I've never done this before and I'm intrigued by it because you just said $20,000 and I want to make $20,000, what is the first thing a girl could do to start?
First thing, I mean, like you said, it's really that belief of, hey, if I did this, then what? You know, if this was a possibility for me, then what? And, you know, we have a course online, but it's really just following the step by step. Hey, I'm a business owner. Okay, I go set up a business. You know, hey, it's going to require me to find a property. I go find a realtor to work with and find the property. It's just step by step by step.
It's one step at a time.
It's one step at a time. And it can get overwhelming. Like, oh, my gosh. You know, imagine if we had to think about every step from having a baby to sending them off to college. Nobody would have a child. You know, so you start with step one.
I think I'd like to respond to that if I can.
Sure, go ahead.
So I think about, like, let's think about all the parents, right, who had a kid who had a little bit of difficulty starting to walk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so then at what point, maybe around 2.5 or so, the parent finally realizes this kid's not walking right now, so that's when you give up, right?
No. Mm-hmm. We never give up.
Okay. Right. So
and I've heard this analogy before.
Walking is controlled falling. Uh-huh. You've got to at some point.
What if every baby gave up when they couldn't get up and walk?
Right. Yeah. Right. So at some point, you have to be willing to get uncomfortable, to choose uncomfortable, to fall forward, to get to that next step. And
right.
And so, you know, walking is controlled falling. You know, what I say, and I spend a lot of time, sort of my major role is bringing what we do and what Margaret's built and what we've now worked on and built together to as many, make it accessible to as many women who want to not just flip houses, but flip their life onto Overdrive, right?
I love it. Look at him. He's owning Market Overdrive.
I took a chance there. So I guess the point I'm making is that there's a formula. There's a formula for this. And what we've done is you know, in working with Margaret's done, taking that formula and putting it in a place where you can go through, understand the steps, get access to online training, get access to mentoring, and then fundamentally say, you know what? Instead of saying, I hope this works, put yourself in a place where you burn the boats and you take the island. You say, you know what? I am absolutely.
I love that. With the Motivation Wednesday, everybody.
Right.
With the same certainty that you could go get a glass of water. And I like to tell the women who we talk to, when you have that same certainty that you're going to flip your first home, now there's no longer a question about whether you're going to do it. You just get access to the system. You know what the first step is, and you focus on that first step. You feed all of your energy and focus on doing whatever it takes to make that first step. And then when you say, oh, my God, I don't have the money, which is the biggest thing that comes up. It's the biggest excuse. Or, my advisors, the people around
there's
me.
There's always excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all these advisors saying that's irresponsible. You're not smart enough. You don't have your real estate license, which really is irrelevant.
Right.
And then we finally get to this place where you can say, okay, I'm going to choose this, and you make a decision.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that decision, you do whatever it takes. So you have that certainty, and from the other side of that certainty becomes massive action. And then the other side of that massive action becomes massive results, which boosts your certainty, which gives you an opportunity to get results like, wow, I just put $20,000, $25,000 in the bank, in 4 weeks, 6 weeks, eight sure. weeks. I wonder if I should be trading my time for money at a J-O-B anymore.
Well,
And it's funny because some of the stuff you said applies to all industries.
Right.
There's a fear factor.
Huge.
And the excuses are identical. And, I have a business with a bunch of salespeople, loan officers for the most part. Yeah, we have administrative people that are on a salary, the ones that I worry about on a regular basis. But you hear the excuses over and over again. For example, I had one loan officer tell me he can't do this on this day and that day because he's got to take his daughter. And I totally appreciate that. I'm not bashing that you have a kid and you don't have responsibilities as a parent. I totally agree with that. But at the same token, I have several other loan officers that also have kids the same exact age. In fact, some of them are even younger, and one of them is a female, has two, and she's destroying him on a regular basis in production, in motivation, in the whole nine yards. So I'm like, so this one has two kids younger than your daughter, and you're going to keep using the daughter as an excuse to why you can and can't do things. I'm not saying to ignore your child by no means, but I'm saying that to keep throwing the excuse out there as to why you can't do almost seems like anything. Why you can't come to work on Mondays? Why you can't stay late on Tuesdays? Why you can't come in on Wednesdays? Why you can't? It's like, it's a convenient. You can't make a child or some other circumstance a constant excuse. You have six, right?
So six kids.
You have six. If you could flip houses with six kids,
anybody can.
Then anyone can be a loan officer with one. You're gonna have to manage your time. I'm sure you had to manage your time around your six kids and your projects. But it's doable is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And too many people are...
You have to start.
And the biggest thing that I've always noticed about motivation and fear, they work hand in hand, is the fear of what can go wrong always prevents you from even getting started. But the anticipation... We've all heard of bad news, and we know at some point this bad news will have its day when it officially gets here. And have you ever heard of the bad news where the leading up to the moment is far worse than actually being in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're in the moment,
you die
it's
a thousand times, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I would rather just get into the moment than this 3 days of anxiety of when I'm going to have to do this. Mm. And I think that a lot of people, when it starts their careers or they're wanting to do their first flip, they're like, well, if I do it, what if it doesn't sell? What if I lose money? What if this? What if that? What if this? What if I don't have the right contractor? What if somebody takes advantage of my lack of experience? Listen. You're far more scared now than when you're actually in the moment. And when you're in the moment, you'll be like, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. Oh, okay, I can handle this. Oh, there's a problem. I can fix this. You just got to get in the moment.
Mm. And I think there's a mentality of paycheck people versus the entrepreneurial mindset.
That's a very good and yes.
Yeah, there's somebody who says, you know what, my why is my next paycheck. So somebody who says, I can't work on Mondays because of this, I can't work, it's because their big goal is to get their next paycheck.
Right.
So for us, it's we have six kids to put through college. We have six kids who we want to see grandkids from, and we want to spend time with them. We want to travel the world. So
I want to contribute.
Yeah. And yeah, we miss some of our kids' activities sometimes.
Yeah.
But guess what? We get to spend so much amazing quality time with them traveling. And I mean, the time that we actually work, it might not be the most convenient at times, but it's far less than most people put into the J-O-B so that they can get that coveted paycheck.
I love that.
Fear of J-O-B. J-O-B is the funniest thing I've ever heard because they're like, well, if I have a steady job, I get a continuous paycheck. I totally agree with you. And for some people, that is what will work to make them happy in life.
Right.
They want the simplicity of life. They want what they think, and the key word there is think, the surety of moving forward. However, I don't want to say I laughed at bad situations, but I have lost loan officers to go work at a bank for a salary to do the same thing versus being 100% commissioned in our environments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost comical when that bank announces layoffs 3 weeks later or 3 months later and they're at the chopping block. So I look to them and say, how was that stability? Because any corporation can fire any human being the minute they have a down quarter, the minute they have a down year, the minute they want to make adjustments, the minute they merge with someone else. There is no security even in your job.
Right.
There's no because security you have no working for yourself it. Either. I fire myself like 10 times a day.
If I was you, I'd fire myself every morning.
Amen.
And then, yeah.
But I really love that. I mean, like, yeah, the job or the not job, entrepreneur or not entrepreneur, you know, as women, I think that it's really hard. Like, I always say I'm sacrificing my today for my tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I come from a large family. I have four brothers, right? And I'm from Honduras. So, you know, Latinos have this culture of like role repertoires. As a woman, I'm supposed to be at home. I'm supposed to be taking care of my kids. And when my brother's here that I'm working till midnight, they're like, what are you doing to yourself? Your priorities are so messed up. And I look at myself and I'm like, I'm going to keep myself strong because this is what I want to do.
Those are your advisors, right?
Those are my advisors. But you know, at the end of the day, they're there to support me. And I know I call them and they're there to say, oh my God, great job, sister, right? So you want that too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're a strong woman and you have great big aspirations beyond yourself, right, and not even just like a girl, but I'm saying like growing up, you have such roles based on what your parents gave you as goals. I've told myself that my goals are no longer are no longer going to be the goals. I'm going to have benchmarks where I'm going to say, I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that. And if I attain that, it's fine. But I'm never going to set goals for myself because my goals are based on like a small mentality of where I came from. So now I just want to aspire to be bigger than myself. And I think that real estate is actually in a allows me the ability to do those things. And you know, it's every like now the market is amazing. Mm-hmm. Real estate is so alive. People are flipping everywhere. I mean, like, you know, just align yourself.
Chicks
with
are even flipping.
Chicks are flipping.
Chicks are flipping.
But you know, like even last night I had a moment. Like I went to go set up a lockbox at 8 o'clock at night. It was 9 o'clock because Nicholas gets out of hockey at late now. And we went to set up a lockbox, and I literally parked my car in this narrow street in Rogers Park. And I thought somebody had hit my car, and I started to get into a fight with these people about hitting my car. My children were with me. It's dark. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself? Why am I putting my kids in such, you know, danger? And it's just like, and then I went home, and I'm like, I can't do this. I can't be working to 10 o'clock with my kids. But, you know, we had a conversation as a family, the kids and I, and we said, they're like, Mommy, it's okay. Are you okay? And I started crying because I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry for putting you guys in danger. And they were like, Mom, it's okay. And I just hope that every day that, you know, that you're doing real estate, that that they, you know, they learn something from it, but that it builds me as a mom and it builds me as a businesswoman.
There you go again, picking fights that you shouldn't pick. I'm not going to say you do it often, but I know one person that you constantly pick a fight with and you usually don't win. Why do you do this to yourself?
I know, but it's overwhelming, and I apologize to my kids. But, you know, women, if you're out there and you're single moms or not single moms or you just want to get started, like, there is hardship, but you just have to, like you said, Nate, believe in yourself and, like, do it. Just own it.
Absolutely. I'm gonna share this. I think that it's sort of like when it comes to flipping, there's kind of a big sort of not so obvious, like in search of the obvious. So I'm going to share this. 90% of flipping is your psychology and your mindset. 90% of it. It's understanding how to take that, get into implementing what you learn step by step, and then turning what you implement into results. And until you get the result you want, you don't stop adjusting until you get the result that you want.
Right.
So you just keep going. And then the 10% is understanding the formula, getting out there, doing it, having access to speak with, work with a mentor, and model it. And, you know, it's like the number of women who have gone through our program, who have accessed or connected with our program, who have said, I just know if I can do it. I just don't. I said, well, here's what you could do by the end of today. What about in the next hour? Go do this. Go put aside $1,000. Go get a house under contract and see if anyone you know would love the opportunity to make 8 to 12%. And let's talk about if you're having trouble finding investors. Let's talk about if you're having trouble, you know, being an investor. Let's talk about if you're flipping homes. And they get all of a sudden they've gone and taken this action that was essentially, here's what you go do it. And all, you know, they open up. They're this new, they rise up and they own it because they did it. They implemented.
So you're saying if I'm on a paycheck to paycheck kind of job and I don't have a lot of money because I'm renting and rentals are so expensive, so I don't have a lot of liquid assets, you're saying that basically all I need is like maybe $1,000 to get started and then build, like, how do
well,
I get
really,
started?
You know, if you think about it, if it's a good deal, if they know where to go and look and, you know, partner with people who can find a good deal, and it calls it a profit center, that's what it is. It's not about, hey, come and invest in with me. It's invest in this deal that I have, this profit center, emphasis on profit. So as long as they've got the money to put the earnest money down, and then they've worked with somebody to get proof of funds to say, yes, you know, we will give you money for this when it's a good profitable deal. You know, it's not about them. And I think sometimes, especially as women, we think, oh, you know, what are they going to think of me? And am I going to be enough? And, you know, what if it doesn't work out? But it is get your earnest money.
That's human.
That's all you need to get started.
Every human, not just women.
Yeah.
We all have this little voice that says we're not enough. We have this voice that says, I'm not enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not strong enough.
Oh, I'm tall enough. I'm 5'4".
She thinks she's 6 foot.
Five,
she's 5'4" with 6-inch heels on. But no, you hit it on the head. But we do have to get to a little bit of red meat because the show is still about flipping at the mm-hmm. end of the day. And I think that it's great that we have a bunch of motivation in this show because there's probably a ton of people that have watched the other 6 flip shows that we've done still leave unmotivated, just more scared because we talk about the, you know, how did you do it? My question is, when you get to 10 properties at one time, I think our viewers wonder, where's all the money coming from?
So
you have 10 of them out there. You didn't buy them all in cash and rehab them all in cash unless you have that much money already.
No, when I started, it was just one. So I built up to doing 10 of them, and I ended up at the end doing a lot of hard money, which, again, the deal had to be good enough. You know, I had to find better deals to justify paying the hard money rates that I was paying.
Higher rates, higher fees.
Yeah, exactly.
10 to 12% interest rates, 3-4 points up front or
cost
5 points
up front.
Cost
of doing business.
Right. And again, you know, that was when I looked at the lifestyle of doing, you know, 7 to 10 at a time,
right,
and the fact that I was paying for hard money, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm happy doing 2 or 3 at a time and just, you know, constantly turning
keeping
it over.
Keeping your expenses lower.
Right. And I started off with no money, but I can do 2 or 3 at a time now with my own money.
Sure.
So, and then my favorite thing to do is you flip the property and then you go buy a rental property. So we've got a lot of rental properties now. So it's building that. And then that money comes in every single month, so I could essentially do a flip from that money.
So your advice is, so your advice to someone that is newer in the business is to look out even the hard money options, non-traditional financing.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have your own money, that's great. But if you don't, whatever it takes to get the first one or two going is something you'd have to do.
I think people are not willing to have this conversation. It's not polite maybe to talk about money in
asking
your
for money?
General.
Yeah, asking all for the money. Time. You said it was
no,
a profit center.
It's
hey,
needed.
Oh my
hey,
gosh,
can I borrow some money for my new flip?
You will
it's
never
a profit
borrow,
center.
You will never borrow any money from me again.
And I'll sit there and I'll talk to somebody and I'll say, you know, what are you investing in these days? Because I want to have an intelligent conversation with somebody. You know, are you in the stock market? Where do you have your money sitting? And you get to a point where you say, you know, wouldn't it be great to get 5 or 10% on a flip? So I do a lot of loans with people that I know mm-hmm. because they're not getting 5 or 10% in their
right.
bank account. They're thrilled to do it.
Right.
And then guess what? When the deal's done and I give them their money back, they're like, well, don't you have
you got another
one?
Exactly.
I want to cry right now. I was doing 50% at one point.
Oh,
I said that.
And I made fun of you the whole time. What are you doing? I mean, granted, he brought all his friends in on it. 2009 was a really dark year for even hard money lenders. They weren't as flexible as they are today, but he was literally paying out 50%.
Yeah.
And I was just
But he was sharing the wealth with family.
Granted, it was to family and friends, but I'm like, you do know that I myself would have probably done it for like 10.
You know, as long as you're making 51%, it's still better to get in.
Right.
You know, start playing the
game.
You can't.
This is nothing.
And everything is a learning experience.
Absolutely.
The first time, you know, some people say, make sure that you just fail the first time so you learn from it and then
fail
you
fast.
Succeed. Yeah,
fail fast.
I mean, I've had clients, right, because I'm always like, dude, I can find you this property. Let's do it. And they've done it. And some people, like, just hire the wrong contractor. Like, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm giving you recommendations, but they go ahead and wanted, you know, and they hire the wrong contractor, get in trouble, and they don't make as much as they thought they were going to make. But you know what? It is a learning experience. You did it. You got through the process.
You
graduated college.
Yeah. I play the game assuming that 1 out of every 10 flips is going to be a disaster.
Oh, wow.
So okay. if I can assume I'm going to lose on 1 out of 10, then I don't get stressed out about it.
Yeah.
And if something bad goes, oh, I guess this is that one.
I love it. In sales and when you're so competitive, you're like, there's no room for failure. We got to do each one has to be good.
Win more than last one.
Right.
It's funny that you said sales. I think it's interesting when you say the word sales. So how many people listening are probably thinking right now, oh my God, I don't want to have to sell anything.
Yeah.
Right? So the thing is, what Margaret's saying here too, is that when you create a flip situation, you don't have to sell you know, that you have a house under contract or sell that you know, hey, please let me convince you to invest, you're laying out an opportunity. So when you think of it as an opportunity, you're turning the tables. It's not about selling.
It's telling.
It's telling and also caring.
Right.
You know, I'd love to be able to help you out. And you know what? Let's take a look at this. And if I get a sense this could really help you, I'll give you the opportunity. You turn those tables around.
Right.
Lordy, Lord, Lord, Lord. It's been 45 minutes already. Do you believe that?
Don't you love spending time with me? That's awesome.
I love spending time with them.
I do.
You
I
are
really enjoy
a side effect of having to spend time with them.
I really enjoyed
spending
our conversation
time with them was fun.
Today. There's, you know, obviously, we always say that, right? It's a 45-minute show. How we're going to put all of it in there. You guys have an upcoming seminar event that you're promoting, this little, you know, social you're putting
That's
together.
It's kind of big. It's not little. It's kind of
it's
big.
It's a little social.
Huge.
Yeah, we have
Tell us more about you're hosting a house party. What's that like?
Yeah, we're having Flip Chick Unleashed.
What?
And it's, yeah, it's the end of the month. So,
sounds fun.
Yep, it's actually it's selling out fast, and we've talked to the hotel about adding some space, so because we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be there. You're gonna have a lot of couples, a lot of women in the room.
Where is it?
It's at the Hyatt Regency
Schaumburg,
and you know, it's on April 29th and 30th, and you can go to flipchickevent.com. You can learn a little about it. You'll see a video, and you can also get your tickets there for the event.
Cool.
April 29th. We're there. Am I invited?
You ready?
Can I come?
No, you
Absolutely.
Are not invited. In fact, your ticket is double.
Yeah, if you know double. Any of the Mod Squad, too, don't hesitate to get in touch. There are some secret passes we're making available.
What?
Just a handful. Yeah, so you guys have secret links. Yeah.
I love it.
We're not going to announce that here.
He
but
said
you guys
the Mod
know
Squad.
How...
That means Graco and Carla, not
No,
Nick.
She almost said Graco and Nick. She told me that.
I love it. Thank you so much for inspiring women on our show today. And that's what Market Overdrive is here to do, just elevate everyone's real estate IQ. I know that we talk about real estate, and real estate is so dry and so boring. But I just love the fact that we made it, like, you know, on the sensitive side because we're upholding women, but we're badass. You're a bad mama jama.
That's right.
I can't believe – I love your story. Seriously, it's amazing. And they, like – Stop making fun of me, seriously.
Always about men and women with Carla. It's just, you know, it's always about men and women with Carla.
I know, everybody was so excited because it's truly girl power. Nick, it's so hard being a girl. Like, you're always told you can't do things.
I never told you can't do anything.
I don't have a president to look up to.
Let Nate jump in here.
I got something funny to share. So the one more thing about women and the emotions here with flipping real estate. How many times have you gone on a total gut rehab job and you see a woman show up wearing, like, flip-flops, this little skirt thing, a tank top, delivering food and drinks to the contractors.
Okay, I don't do all that.
Showing up, they're all eating, have snacks, having a good time, bringing down coffee. And I walk in, I'm like, I have to yell at those four. Can we not give them food?
Don't give them a donut before I scream.
No, you give them donut on their way out because
right,
they're leaving.
Right.
Or save them for me.
That's your last damn donut. Don't come back tomorrow.
But I do remember recalling you saying that she is the fiercest at firing people. So we're wholesome, we'll cuddle you. But at the same time, you got to bring it, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. So all you strong women or women who are on the sidelines wanting to get into this fun world of flipping, you could do it, right?
Absolutely.
Last words of wisdom, Margaret?
You know, I think it really is taking a deep look inside yourself. And is it your time? And the answer is yes. It's your time to rise up and own it.
Love it. Love it. It's everybody's time, including Graco, not Nick's, but definitely Carla's. Time.
It is my time to wrap this show up. Thank you for listening. You could have obviously followed today's show on our YouTube channel. It'll be on our Facebook live feed. On our Facebook feed, our social media plugs. Obviously, we are on Twitter at Market Overdrive. YouTube, as I mentioned, you can also download Market Overdrive and get all of these shows at today's show with Flip Chick and any other show we've done in the past on our podcast. Just go on iTunes and it'll be right there sitting for you. Be a subscriber. And last but not least, wanted to make everybody aware of what WGN stood for.
What does it stand for?
Way to go, Nate. Nate did good too. It was all about Margaret, but Nate did pretty good. We found
you
out that Nate, is the other half of this Flip Chicks enterprise.
It's Flip Chicks.
So
woo,
men
girl
can do
power.
It too.
Why do you always gotta take it away from women?
We'll see you all next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Oh no, I bring it to women. I'm not taking anything away.
We will see you all next Wednesday 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.